Eric took my idiot badge off.
What do we have here? We have two of minds behind KPL. And introduce yourself. Let us know who you are and what's going on.
Hi, I'm Walt Morrison. I'm in the Kent office of Morrison & Schwartz. Pretty much where all the business stuff happens. I pretty much support the KPL effort any way I possibly can. And this is my partner, John Schwartz.
Hello, John Schwartz.
Thank you.
Actually here from the East Coast, okay. Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Excellent. And so what's KPL?
Well, it's Kids Programming Language.
Kids Programming.
And it's what it sounds like.
Okay.
It's what it started as anyway. What it's sort of evolving into is more of a beginner's programming language, which is good for kids of all ages, not just the 10 to 14 year olds that we really started with.
So, interesting, when I think of kids programming language, what environment do they use to program in? I mean, we'll have a demo of it shortly, but how do you make the tool they use? So it's a tool as well as a language?
Sure, and it's our own IDE, which is very much based on Visual Studio IDE, because we are big fans of Visual Studio and .NET, and we want to encourage and enable people who are getting started to graduate to .NET. So visually, it looks a lot like Visual Studio .NET, but it's greatly simplified. The language and the IDE are both just simpler, less stuff, easier to get started in.
Interesting. So is it a syntax-based language, or is it object and pictures?
It's syntax-based.
Okay.
It's more akin to the earlier program languages that John and I started with in the early days of our getting started learning to program. We saw a need, along with Jonah Stagner, who actually has children, and he was trying to teach how to program. And Jonah and I had the same experience in that today's modern languages have grown up so much that they're enterprise-based languages. They have a fairly steep learning curve before you can get really started doing anything that's fun.
Sure.
So we wanted an environment that was, remove all those barriers. Don't worry about includes or using statements or namespaces or any of that kind of stuff. Just write some code, push a button, and run your code. And that's what we, came up with. Well, it's been a really great, fun time developing it and talking to people about it.
Sure.
We love it.
Now, is it being used in schools?
It's just getting started. KPL version 1 officially released 1st of August, so it's been just about 4 months. And already we know of a classroom of 14 and 15-year-olds in Iceland who are using it. There's a classroom in Guam who's using it, high school students. There's a classroom in the Philippines of college students, computer-aided instruction, who are using it. And those are some of the ones that we know about. But it is just getting started.
Fantastic. Now, how did you write it? How did you build it? How is it named? Without getting into the gory details. But
it's a C# program. Okay, it sits on top of the CLR, Microsoft's interpreter. It's an interpreted language. It's highly leveraged. So what would take you to animate a sprite in, say, C#, maybe 50, 60 lines of code, takes you one line of code in our environment. You name the sprite, you name the file, and you say, show, and away you go. And you've got a sprite on the screen, you can start doing things with it. The whole concept that we had was it has to be something that people can get immediate gratification from, take away the barriers of learning and make it fun.
Sure.
And, we like to say learning is best when learning is fun.
Fantastic.
And we believe that we've hit that mix, and it's working very well.
Excellent. Now, can you still write, logical sort of code?
Sure. It's a structured language which people who first look at it think that looks a lot like BASIC, and it certainly does. It has a lot of the same constructs that any of the .NET languages have: loop structures, definitions of variables, functions, methods. We'll also, with KPL version 2, which is coming up early next year, be adding component-oriented programming which will look even more like .NET, where you'll have the object.method syntax. KPL version 1 is even simpler than that, and you just have singular system methods and functions that you can call.
That's
like
awesome.
Show sprite, load sprite, things like that.
Very cool. Well, let's take a look at this for a little while and continue.
I'll let John run this part of it because he's a part of, he is in charge of the educational part of what we do.
I'm going to.
So you want to zoom back a little bit here.
Get on here and see what we have going on.
Okay.
How's that?
Let me get the get closer to John here with the control of the programs.
So quick overview of the IDE. As you can see, it looks a lot like Visual Studio. The buttons, the commands, the features, the menus, they are simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the run program, you have flags, you have indent, outdent. Down here in the code editor, you have color-coded syntax with language keywords in blue, comments in green. You have collapsible regions. This is all designed to be as much as possible like a simple version of Visual Studio.NET so that people can move directly from it to Visual Studio.
Okay. And I see the basic style syntax as type.
Here is this particular program I just opened from the File Explorer. This is our canonical example of how easy it is to do stuff in KPL.
Okay.
This instruction is no longer actually necessary. But basically, these eight KPL instructions, will load a UFO on the screen and move it down and across the screen. I'm going to hit run.
Cool.
And fire it up here.
Let's check it out.
It's not doing anything fancy yet, but for someone who's done graphical stuff with any current language, the minimal amount of code that you need to do to actually make that work is, it's fun.
Let's see, what, 15 lines of code?
Well, this is actually more like 8.
Okay.
We have slightly more sophisticated examples. The box is quite interesting. These two are some of our learning programs that are actual examples that we put together that do simple things to show people how to get started.
Okay.
So this one adds an animation to the UFO, and it adds the ability to control it with the keyboard. It's been a while since I looked at it, so let's look. It's right, left, up, and down. So it's the right, left, up, and down arrows that are actually going to make the UFO move.
Very cool. So that people are learning about handling events.
Yep. Handling keys,
yeah.
Moving graphics, animated GIFs. Hey, how are you?
I'm serious about that.
So let's look over here. When you click on the scroll bar, it actually tells you there's 57 lines in this file.
Uh-huh.
And as you can see, 10 or 15 of them are white space. So
sure.
That putting the UFO, animating it, and allowing you to move it from the keyboard took something like 40 lines of code in KPL.
Fantastic.
It's also capable of doing interesting, functional, powerful games. And for the MSDN Coding for Fun site, this version of Pong is the first of the game articles that we wrote. And it is a KPL implementation of the original Pong. It's W.
S&W. I'm just trying to get a game.
We're good at writing the games, but not so good at playing.
Quite honestly, yeah.
So this is also, well, the advantage with KPL is that all of these programs are open KPL source that are published with KPL as it ships.
Okay.
And they're also available for download on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular KPL program that makes Pong is 292, counting a lot of comments. This is actually about 180 instructions to duplicate 1975's Pong.
Very cool.
We also have asteroids on your computer here.
Yeah, we do this up above here. Yeah, it's all a folder here.
Okay. This is going to get more noisy.
Yeah, no problem. All right.
This will be the next article in the Coding for Fun series.
coding for fun, really like the idea of the retro games. So we're on the retro game theme to get started with Pong and Asteroids. Missile Command, Battle Zone, and some other fun ones are on our list. So those are a couple of examples of games that we've written. Mm-hmm. Some examples of games that contributors and volunteers have written and sent us.
Yahtzee is one of my favorite ones.
Yahtzee, sure. This is a KPL implementation of Yahtzee, everyone's favorite dice game when we were growing up. You click the ones that you want to re-roll, click again. Ooh, that's a full house. So nice. I skip roll three and I score it as a full house. And I move on to the next round. So KPL Yahtzee, it's fun to play. It's easy to do, and the code is here.
One of the things we like to encourage people to do is to go in and take the games that they come with KPL and that they can download from our website and tinker with the code and make other games out of them.
Sure.
One of the best examples is when John wrote Kaplong, we call the Pong implementation Kaplong. Mm. I took that and in 20 minutes I turned it into Fourplong, where I took the two paddles that were on top and bottom and added them to the ones that are on the side, and I said, now the object is to keep the ball on the screen with all four paddles. Hmm. You know, and it took 20 minutes to mess with it and copy some of the code around and make it do that, and it was a lot of fun.
Excellent.
You know, it took me probably 4 hours start to finish to write one of the Christmas tree theme games that we did for Coding for Fun. Is that in there, John? The
Yeah, extra should up. This is a holiday game which is going up on Coding for Fun today, actually.
And as you shoot up the Christmas tree?
Well, yeah, you're tossing ornaments at the tree as it.
Oops, I just broke that one. If you hit them on the tree, and then you'll get.
We're not having the sound either.
Yeah, let me turn it
this
up here a little bit.
This is Walt's fun voiceover at the end.
Yeah,
nice.
So let me go ahead and take some shots here and see if I can get them on the tree. The tree is obviously moved. Oops, I shot twice and I broke that.
Like
part
I said,
of it.
We're better at writing.
Oh.
Ho, ho, ho. Try again.
Fantastic. That was you?
Yeah.
That was him. Yes.
Wow.
So we have a lot of fun with this. It's been, I have more fun writing programs in KPL than writing any programs I have in the last 30 years.
Sure.
That's excellent.
It's been nothing but fun.
Remember the one that we told you about in your office that's like the fractal you had displayed?
Sure.
This is a. Based on sine and cosine function, displaying orbs, rotating them, and moving them. It's dynamic art with KPL. Hmm. And if you watch it long enough, you will, well,
you'll
it's a
crazy.
Lot of fun.
No, that's great, though.
And the KPL code is here for this, so it's, again, easy to tweak, modify. This a volunteer sent us. He just did it and sent it to us. And other examples of similar things, there's a cherry tree generator. Is it on here?
It's on here.
We should show you that. It's a recursive algorithm. This is the high school teacher in Guam, and his high school class implemented this cherry tree program. And it's him educating them on recursion.
Outstanding.
The cherry tree is basically recursively generated. Do we have it here, Will? It's a draw tree, or tree draw?
I might even call it cherry tree, I don't know. See it down there? Let me see the mouse here just a minute. Let me get this off the screen, because that's just kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I could swear I had that tree thing on here. I don't know.
We're not finding it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
X tree shoot up?
That's what we just did.
Okay.
Tic Tac Toe, there's Space Shooter. This has been a real hit with kids.
It's one of the original.
I remember this one.
Uh-huh.
You have thrust in
this one. Yeah, you get it.
Even some good versions of KPL programs from August.
So that's, you know, those are the code that it takes to implement a program like that is somewhat more.
Sure.
But a lot of white space here. And a lot of it is, you know, dealing with the key handling and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of the, you know, what's really nice about it is a lot of the routines are the same over and over again. So you can take them out of one program that's already in KPL, and you can drop in your new program and utilize them. If you want to do key, you know, the key controls and the key capture, just cut and paste it. It's all, you know, shared code. Every program you get all the source code for in KPL, so it's a great place to go tinker and learn how to program to start with.
That's
awesome.
And you immediately get gratification on what you did, you know, and how it affected the program.
So if I'm coming at this with zero,
there we go, a little Mandelbrot set going on.
This is a good segue into the test bed, because the test bed improvements, literally from version 1 to version 2,
depending on the program, it will run 800 to 1,000% faster with what we did with version 2. The Mandelbrot set that you're watching takes about
95 seconds to render on mm-hmm. this computer. On the test bed, it takes 9. And we'll show you that next, actually.
Fantastic. With the same amount of resolution?
Yes. Absolutely. And it's all about, and we'll tell you
some more of the technical details when we get to that. But you were asking about if you're coming at this with no knowledge at all, how do you get started? Mm-hmm. We had a lot of requests as soon as we made it available, particularly from parents who had kids they wanted to teach. And the parents themselves had no experience programming, so they were kind of stuck. And hearing from them, we knew that we needed to do a really beginner-friendly tutorial. And that has been up on our site for about 3 weeks now. It's a 25-page guided tutorial which starts with Hello World, moves into drawing a star, moves into drawing a UFO. That 25-page tutorial has been downloaded something like 2,000 times in 3 weeks. And
nice.
People are giving us all kinds of great feedback about it. And actually, a volunteer has already translated that one to French. And a guy is working on a Spanish translation of it as well.
Fantastic.
One of the most encouraging things for us about what we're doing is how many people have just stepped up and helped us in various ways. Volunteers have translated KPL. There are about 400 UI strings involved in the IDE, the editor, the message boxes, all of that. Volunteers have translated those into 13 languages at this point. In the first 4 months. Russian, Chinese, German, Dutch, Italian, French, Spanish, Romanian, Polish, Catalan, Czech,
that's just
a new
amazing,
one, Greek,
yeah.
And sending us many example programs too. Did we start the test bed yet?
No, I don't know.
So let's fire that up. Which one is the latest?
The latest is on top, the November 30th.
So this is really, we call it the test bed, but it's version 2 KPL. We do our development in a sort of iterative fashion.
We're just faster and get more done that way. Mm-hmm. And it's a functional alpha version 2 that we're continuing to add to.
Fantastic.
Some of the things you can see from this right away are examples of the component-oriented code for the first time. This is not in version 1. You define FPS as a text label. FPS is frames per second. You give it a width, a height, a move to a color, and you set the font. And further down, you'll actually assign the text to it. So that kind of component-oriented code is going to be very familiar to anyone working with Java, C#, or Vue.
Sure.
.NET.
So it's the object-oriented.
It's the object-oriented. And user-defined
classes are also available in KPL V2.
Okay.
Let's actually show you, since we just showed you the Mandelbrot, let's show you it in KPL V2.
Okay.
Remember, it took about 95 seconds to render. It's going to take about 10 seconds to render this time.
Fantastic.
Because it took so long last time, we didn't show you the zoom capability in it. Since it only is going to take 10 seconds, we're going to click again and show you that with the Mandelbrot, you can actually click anywhere in the fractal, and it will re-render centered on that point. Right-click made it zoom out instead of zoom in. Mm-hmm. I clicked the wrong button here. But, you know, this is the whole point of fractals, that you can zoom in as deep as you want to zoom in and
Absolutely.
See the infinite levels of recursive detail.
Now, theoretically, though, it should get slower because
the more you click, the more iterations you're doing, correct?
Well, the way the algorithm is working is it knows the X, Y that it needs to render, mm-hmm. and it's only rendering the rectangle that you asked, that you clicked on. So
that's how it avoids taking longer to re-render. It just is rendering.
It does. It does actually start taking longer, at about 50 levels.
50 levels in. I haven't gone 50 levels.
Levels. Yeah. Insane numbers of iterations.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
even.
Incredibly cool.
So, there's much cooler stuff actually to show you in KPL V2. Is this the big scene? Yes, this is the big scene. One of the things we're doing with KPL V2 is wrapping
the managed DirectX library, in the same sort of way
that we made it easy to write sprites. We're wrapping the managed DirectX library to make it ridiculously easy to make a 3D program. So let's start again with like the canonical one, which is coolest visuals with minimal code. Is it Scene 3D or Allen 3D? Yes, this is about 40 KPL instructions, which we'll show you, but let's show you how it runs first.
Wow.
That is a 3D spaceship model rendered by Managed DirectX.
You know, with a camera, lighting, a space box that it's going to run in, spatial acuity for everything that's going on. The camera's automatically tracking.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's 50 lines of code.
Wow.
In the next version of KPL.
That's awesome.
Here's a larger example with some more code, but
this one takes a little bit of doing to run. Oh, here we go.
This is a first-person Quake level, I think.
Yeah.
That is rendered in KPL, and you actually are interactively moving the animated model through this terrain. You can turn, move. In minimal code, it's not allowing you to do things like look up, look down. I think spacebar will make you jump too.
Yeah.
So this is about 100 lines of code.
Wow.
The other building actually has a ramp.
That's where I was headed over there. Yeah.
So this kind of thing, when we first started to show screenshots of this on our website, when we announced that we were working on it and showed people. We immediately had two people say, can I beta?
Yeah.
And we will, sooner rather than later, get this ready to just put it on our website for people to download and play with. Getting feedback while it's still in beta is something we really want to
do. I jump off the edge, you can see I cruise down to the bottom. Whoops. Oh. I'm not a very good driver. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Very, very cool.
How about we show them the user-defined class as well?
Yeah.
The Channel 9 people probably be interested.
And what you want to see up here is, you know, we're actually working on the performance. So you can see all of the things we're monitoring as this guy's walking around, the frames per second and that kind of thing. We're very keen to make it be very robust.
Constantly optimizing it.
There you go, I found the exit.
The performance here is much better than it was when we first started.
You can see if I just walk out across there, and all this is being handled in the background, the plane following and all that kind of stuff, all that kind of code is all being handled by KPL in the background.
Mm. Basically, we wrap the managed DirectX stuff with code that abstracts it. Let's actually look at the code for this one.
Yeah, I'm just going to shut it down here.
Here's the model for the player, the animated figure that you're seeing. You load the model, you scale the model to set its size, you move the model to where you want it in the scene, you enable level collisions, and you enable gravity to true, so that when you hop off, you'll see him fall down. And scroll down, and you'll see the keyboard processing in the event here. There's some other stuff up there for enabling the scene, but this is actually controlling the figure. If key down is left, then turn the player left. If key down is right, then turn the player right. That kind of simplicity is what we're going for, and that kind of leverage, so that with simple, intuitive, readable code, you can do a lot of very cool stuff on the screen. Highly leveraged makes it interesting. When people can do a lot with minimal effort, they're more likely to keep doing it. They're more likely to keep playing with it.
That's very wise. It's very true.
We don't have the class. We could look at the other directory, but I don't know how big the deal is to show that.
Well, actually, I think probably we need to start with one of the older proofs, because that'll run the robot guy.
Right. You can also run we have the devices, robot. Huh?
Oh, yeah. We have the Fidgets movable camera. Let me see if I have the right version of the test bed open to open the Fidgets library.
There it is. Keep your Fidgets. Right there.
Yep.
Interesting.
So it's a USB-controlled servo with a webcam attached. And we, again with that, wrapped, well, here it is, it's actually showing you.
Yeah, if you look at the screen, right inside KPL, you're seeing the video feed from the camera.
Nice.
I'm controlling the position of the camera on the X and Y coordinates, strictly with just X and Y calls. move it this way, move it that way. You can see my hand in the picture here.
There's the camera.
Video feedback.
There's the camera.
And let's get the, let's get our...
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, let's get a picture of the guy that's doing the interview in here.
I don't think that's going to make it onto the tape, though.
We'll see.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you can see, that's where we're going with the Fidges library. Basically, it right now we can control their servo card, which can control four different servos, and we're going to add to that in the future. And we're looking at the Logos Mindstorm.
Lego Mindstorms.
Mindstorm stuff to do something with that. So now there's only so much of us and so much time to get this stuff done.
Sure.
So we don't like to promise any dates or anything, but we with the next version of KPL, we have the capability of having modules that we just drop into the directory that the KPL has been loaded into, and KPL will recognize it, and with a little bit of effort, it will take all the information needs out of it with reflection. Mm-hmm. And allow you to use all of the commands and capabilities of that new module.
Fantastic. That could be written in
VB, C sharp, J sharp, whatever you're familiar with. And there will be at some point in time an SDK, so you can build your own modules and give them to people to use.
It gets to a feature which we haven't mentioned about KPL V1 yet. Some of the magic about the way this works is we are interpreting KPL language down to code DOM objects. Since we have them as code DOM objects in the .NET framework, we can, in a very straightforward way, generate C# or VB or any other .NET language code from the code DOM objects. So what you're looking at down here is C# code that KPL produced based on the KPL code that is above. Now, this code, if you copy it right now and move it into visualstudio.net, won't run because the KPL runtime is not available to it.
Sure.
But one of the things we obviously want to do and are doing with version 2, it's the library model that he just mentioned that enables this. Our runtime libraries for KPL will be available from VB, C#, or any other .NET language. So you will be able to take code like this, move it from KPL into the other language, move it from that language into Visual Studio, and run it, compile it, and learn C#, VB, and VisualStudio.net based on the KPL work you did before. Another important point about that is, as we said, the libraries that will be available, by definition, in Visual Studio are available to C# or available to VB.net, all of the level of abstraction you've seen, where you can load a sprite, you can move a sprite, you can animate a sprite, you can load a 3D model, you can move a 3D model forward, you can turn it right, turn it left. Mm-hmm. All of those libraries that we've worked hard to make highly leveraged, very abstracted, get a lot done with a little code, will be available also to C# and VB developers.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Again, our goal with this was to teach our own children and other beginners mm-hmm. how to learn to program. And if you look at the simplicity of the code, you didn't have to set up a window, you didn't have to use any using statements or anything like that. You just had to write a few lines of code, push the go button, and it automatically compiled it and ran it for you mm-hmm. in a predefined window.
Sure.
And you can take control of that window and change the size of it, but the point is you didn't have to generate the window.
Understood.
You know, and the idea is to get all that stuff out of the way. And what we really wanted for ourselves, our own children, the people that we know, was to be able to go directly from this to, you know, maybe .NET Express versions, mm-hmm. the Visual Studio Express versions of code. So we want to be the stepping stone of, you know, hey, you know, you figured out how to do some pretty basic coding and got some interest in it. Really looks like it's fun.
Yes.
Now you can move into the Visual Studio world mm-hmm. and do, you know, anything that you want. Mm-hmm. And it's just, but we've set your imagination free and captured your interest, and that was our goal.
That's
and
fantastic.
We gave you a place to go from there.
Outstanding.
How about the polar coordinate story? This is a fun one. Not long after we shipped KPL version 1, this guy posted on our forums. We have forums in which people post programs and we list programs for people to download as they're contributed. This was one of our first volunteer contributed programs, and
The guy who sent it to us told us that he had just been working with his 13-year-old daughter on polar coordinate systems and what they were and how they worked. And he found KPL based on Scoble's blog, I think, at the end of July.
Okay.
And he mailed us and he said, I couldn't believe it. I was amazed. 15 minutes after I started, I had this polar coordinates program running. I haven't done anything like this since GW Basic 20 years ago. And 15 minutes, he had this polar coordinates program running to teach and work with his daughter, not just on KPL and KPL programming, but on polar coordinate systems.
About math issues.
It's math.
Sure.
It's graphing. And he really had great things to say about us. So
cool thing about the story is, or 20th of October, I think, we did a brown bag with some of the Visual Studio folks here on campus to demonstrate KPL. And I told that story to the room because it was just a great story about someone being thrilled with KPL and contributing code and how it's working with him and his daughter. And there's this guy in the back left of the room who raised his hand and said, that's me. And I didn't understand. So, what do you mean, it's you? That's me. I wrote that program. So here's the guy sitting in the room that we'd never met who contributed 2 weeks before his polar coordinates program and told us how great KPL was.
Fantastic. Well, it does look a great language.
It's fun. It's fast.
It's simple.
It's simple. And, you know, as you've seen, as we've demonstrated, it's not about just games. It makes makes games and moving sprites around and that kind of thing very easy, but it also can contribute to learning math, learning basic programming. We have lots of learning programs that go with the system. We have lots of demonstrations on how to get started. We even have our own version of Hello World, you know, the classic, you know,
sure,
how do you start programming piece that everybody's always had.
Well, let's look at it.
Well,
I
don't know.
I think it's a learning program.
Well, we could certainly type it from scratch.
Well, I think it's learning program one, isn't it?
It might be.
That was it. Yeah, say hello.
This is a complicated version of it, actually, because it shows the use of methods, and it shows the use of colors, and it shows the use of variables. So this is more complicated than just a hello world, but hello world is basically what it's doing.
Sure.
And in the process, it's showing you how to use a method, and it's showing you how to use colors. It's showing you how to use a variable and assign a string value to the variable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, notice the mouse over. A lot of the things that you would expect to have in Visual Studio, we obviously wanted to have here for the same reasons. They're great productivity enhancers. They're very important for working in Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we want people to move from KPL to Visual Studio easily. So the mouse over is IntelliSense. Let's see, move. If we start typing something and hit the IntelliSense Control J, the pop-up drop-down will actually show us the filtered list of system methods. As you mouse over each one, you can see the tooltip that pops up with the definition of that function.
Sure.
There's a comment there. There's the parameter list there, so you can see, is this really the one that I want to use?
Mm-hmm.
As you select and begin typing, you'll also see the usual tooltip that drops down to guide you through what you're typing.
Understood.
So, you know, that's a lot like VisualStudio.net.
Excellent.
Yeah, if I wanted to actually change this into something that was as simple as what it could be, just
print line.
Just print line.
Absolutely. Well, just grab.
Let me just delete those guys there, and that should just run, I believe. Of course it's going to tell me it doesn't file.
The variable's no longer declared, right?
That's it right there. We just got to do that, and that should be it.
Sure.
Well, okay, so it's going to be...
It's the method. Let's just type print line hello, and it will work fine.
There
just grab
go.
That line of code.
Got there you go. John's got the right idea here. I was just trying to do something ad hoc here to show you how simple it is, and obviously I'm not that adept at that kind of thing. So let's just comment that stuff out. And then it'll just come up and say hello.
Cool. And as you mentioned earlier, the cool thing there is that there's no notion of the fact that print line is actually a method of some class that you imported.
It
just makes sense.
Just do this.
The color you pass point. In, the struct blue, but people don't know what a struct is yet.
Sure,
right.
Exactly.
So, very cool stuff.
We'll show them the Pong 3D, and we'll make that the last piece. It's probably the most ambitious program that any of us have written. Jonah Stagner put this together. One of the developers.
This is actually KPL V1 also, which is not 3D yet, but he's using various scaling tricks to make it look like it's 3D.
Yeah.
This is an optical illusion. It's a 3D looking program that's actually implemented in 2D KPL version 1.
You can see if I hit the side of the paddle or the bottom, the middle of the paddle, it goes. And if I get the side of the paddle, it'll put some English on the ball. And you can see a lot of things going on. So if I just stay right here in the middle, it's pretty much just straight up and down. If I get to the edge of the paddle, see?
Sure. This is a fun story, too, because I,
using StumbleUpon, I think, got to a Java version of this program. And I just fired off a mail to Walt and Jonah, and I said, check this out. This is cool. And the next day, Jonah had the KPL version of this running. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Even better.
Yeah, he just couldn't wait. He's like, oh, yeah, but
he
I can do that in KPL.
Just had to prove KPL can do it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, not a problem. He had it done.
I'm thinking about other things with KPL version 2 that we should mention. Creating executables is a request that we've gotten, probably our most common request. As you can see in KPL version 1, it's interpreted, fully interpreted. You just hit run, it pops up a window and runs it.
Sure.
We thought in an educational environment, that's enough, that's cool.
But people clearly want to be able to build executables, send it to their friends, let people who don't have KPL actually run the program they wrote, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's a feature we're working on for KPL version 2. And we're doing that in what we think is a very interesting way. But the bottom line is, you will be able to turn KPL programs into executables and send them to people, download them, share them, whatever.
With people and all the people need to have on their machine is the CLR.
The CLR,
the framework.
Yes, the framework. Exactly. Yes, yes.
The CLR.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Other things about KPL version 2, we also get lots of requests for the typical breakpoint and debugging and watch windows. Those will be in KPL version 2.
Sure.
Standard debugging support. Down here in the bottom of the screen, the trace window area will actually split in half. The right side of it will have a grid with all of the in-scope variables and what their current values are.
Cool.
And again, we don't want you to have to set a watch. We want all that information to just be there all the time and make it easy for the programmer to see exactly what their program is doing.
Now, would it be possible to build a Visual Studio add-on where I could just write KPL inside of my already existing Visual Studio, say you're a developer, you have Visual Studio, you want your child to...
At this point, not version 1.
Definitely not version 1.
Sure, it's
I mean,
version...
Does that even make sense?
Sure.
I mean,
well,
you have your own environment.
Yeah. We certainly could do it, and we've looked at it a bit. There's a kit available for extending and adding to visualstudio.net that we could use to build that. We don't really see the need to do it right now, given that the IDE works fine. And you know, our better story is you're doing KPL stuff in KPL. When you want to move on to Visual Studio, you just move on to Visual Studio.
Sure.
Express editions are
well,
free.
But here, like we were talking about earlier, one of the cool things is if you're writing a program in C# in Visual Studio, and you're an average developer, I mean, you're a fine developer, but you're not a 3D developer, and you don't really know how to do any of that stuff. Writing 3D code is very, very difficult,
yes,
as we all know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you want it to be unbelievably simple. So you'd rather write your little KPL file and have that be your 3D renderer for your application that you've written in C# where you've done your other things. Could be done.
Sure, keep in mind that we are already putting out the C# code that's the equivalent of what you did in KPL. We actually in the new version split all of the core functionality into external libraries, mm-hmm. with this thought in mind, and we may or may not, we're not sure yet. It's this is more of a marketing issue, and where
department.
We move for. Well, no, it's all of our department. We share responsibilities across the board for everything, but the capability is there for us to generate an object that could be referenced as the KPL library, and that you could run that code natively in .NET. So
fantastic.
We are making sure that we're going in that direction so it is a possibility. It probably won't be our first priority.
Fair enough.
You know, we definitely want this to be the stepping stone into the Visual Studio world.
Sure, and it seems like it's a great way to learn how to program.
It's been a lot of fun.
Cool. Now, just out of curiosity, what is it popular amongst both boys and girls?
are you finding?
Well, we know, and we've gotten feedback that we don't have enough girl-friendly content yet. It's obviously us three guys who implemented it, and we could use some more input about what girls would like to play. And the volunteers who have sent us stuff to this point have mainly been guys too. We know that's an issue. We're talking to some girls who are using it, who are telling us things that they would like to see, and when they have programs that they've written, we'd like to share them.
Fantastic.
Also, some genre things. Like, we've shown you the sort of dynamic art. This is, it's not a gender issue, but different people are going to be interested in different things. So action games we've got, 3D stuff we've got,
math tutorial stuff we have.
Puzzle games we need more of. Interactive fiction is something that we just haven't had time to demonstrate yet. But interactive fiction is just going to be ridiculously easy to do with KPL. So different people with different interests will be able to do fun stuff with KPL, whatever their interests are.
Fantastic.
Yeah, my daughter probably likes the maze. Code. I don't think we showed you the maze code. Let me just run that real quick. This generates a maze that only has one path through it dynamically every time you run it. And as you can see, it's a pretty complex maze.
Totally.
And every time I stop it and run it, it will dynamically generate a new maze that only has one path to the conclusion. She enjoys that.
And this is probably the hardest thing to play you've shown so far.
Well, this one takes time because it's very hard to get around in there. She likes
before you know it.
Yeah, she likes this, and she likes the X-Tree shoot-up game that we did for the Christmas version of the Coding for Fun stuff, because they wanted something. You remember this?
Sure.
I'm not very good at playing this game, but I'm gonna.
You're gonna be really good. You did it.
Yeah, I got all five of them.
Yeah.
But she likes that, and you can see the reason she would like it is because it has gifts in it and Christmas trees and that kind of thing. So the content is easily done. It's just that, you know, the people that are showing the most interest are males at this point in time.
One fun point about the article, or that particular game, he's using his own voice for the sound clips at the end. So one of the things that we did in the article to encourage people to tinker with and play with this themselves is to just re-record the sound clip. Use their own voice, use their own words, whatever they want to make it say.
Sure.
And in 30 seconds with the recorder that's built into Windows, you can save a new WAV file and play the game, and it's your voice, not his voice. So things like that, encouraging people to take what we do, modify it, play with it. Each of these games, we try to also push some sort of high-level parameters up to the top of the game that will control, like game speed, game difficulty, things like that, so that different people who are playing the game can just tweak the parameters and have the game behave differently for them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all the code is there, so they can modify it in whatever way they want.
You see here, like the player ornament fire delay, you can change how long. How quickly you can shoot each ornament to make it difficult, more difficult there.
The tree speed and the crosshair speed are easy ways to make
ways, you know,
harder.
Yeah, you can make this thing ridiculously hard. You can make it so you can just about can't get the crosshairs on the tree, you know, with just changing, you know, those two numbers on in the code.
Fantastic.
So it's just fun, you know. We like to call it tinker coding. You know, it's something
it's a good point. That's the way everybody learns.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, think back when you learned how to program, how did you learn?
Well, and the
same for someone else's code.
Exactly. Yeah. And the truth is, you don't have to know everything about coding to learn to code in this environment. What you have to do is get interested enough to go in and tinker with some of the code that's already there.
Precisely.
And away you go.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
For showing us this great stuff. And we look forward to seeing it evolve and have more and more people use it. And hopefully more and more programmers.
Thanks a lot. We're having fun. Anyone who's going to try it's going to have a lot of fun too.
Fantastic. Take care.
Thanks for your time.
You.